Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries. Brenda Lee Travis, Midland. Brenda Lee Travis, 59, passed away on March 21, 2021. Brenda was born on July 11, 1961, to Marion Shua and Claude Anderson in Phillips, Wisconsin. At an early age, Brenda took a leap of faith and moved to Midland, Texas, where she married and had two kids, Hannah and Nathan Bowden, whom she spent much of her love and focus on. In 2005, Brenda was remarried to Tommy Kurt Travis and continued to build her home with his two kids, Lauren Spears and Jesse Travis. She is survived by her husband, Tommy Travis, her kids, Hannah and Nathan Bowden, Shelby Bowden and his family, her stepchildren, Lauren Spears and Jesse Travis, and their families. She has four grandchildren, her mother and stepfather Paul and Marion Shua, her siblings Ross, Knob, Locke, Debbie Malone, Kenny Anderson, Barb Baltnick, and their families, her step-siblings Linda Schillings, Diane Podhora, Tim Shua, Chris Scanlon, and their families. She is preceded in death by her sister, Karen Anderson, her father, Claude Anderson, and stepbrother, Donald Donnie Shua. The family would like to express their gratitude toward their neighbors, church family, and their beloved family and friends who have taken the time to stop by and pray with us. The family asks that any donations in memory of Brenda Lee Travis be made to Fairmont Church of Christ, 3813 Midland Drive, Midland, Texas, 79707. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, March 25, 2021, at Nadley Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 26, 2021 at Fairmont Park Church of Christ with interment following at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nadley Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelsh.com. Death notices. Jennifer Lynn Grooms, Jordanton. Jennifer Lynn Grooms, 49, of Odessa, died Friday, March 19, 2021, in Jordanton. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Saturday, March 27, 2021, at Sunset Heights Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Francisco L. Jimenez, Odessa. Francisco L. Jimenez, 85, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 20, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled from 5 to 9 p.m. Thursday, March 25, 2021, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Moses Sandoval Ramos, Odessa. Moses Sandoval Ramos, 67, died Tuesday, March 16, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Pedro Ortiz Zambrano, Jr., Odessa. Pedro Ortiz Zambrano, Jr., 43, of Odessa, died Monday, March 22, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Thursday, March 25, 2021, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael. As we didn't have the Midland Reporter Telegram obituaries ready for hour one, I'll read them now. These obituaries were published Wednesday, March 24th, 2021, from the MRT. Frankie Chris Escontrias. Frankie Chris Escontrias, 62 years old, of El Paso, passed away Saturday, March 20th. Public viewing will be held from 12 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, March 25th, followed by rosary services from 7 to 8 p.m. at the branch at NPW, 3800 North Big Spring Street in Midland. A funeral mass will be held on Friday, March 24th at St. Anne's Catholic Church at 1 p.m. Frank was born on September 10th, 1958 in El Paso, Texas, to Eufrasio and Francisca Escontreras. Frank is preceded by his parents, Eufrasio and Francisca, his brothers Mike, Eufrasio Jr., and his sister Dora Becerra. Frank is survived by his wife Sandra, his daughters Dorothy Gomez and Stephanie Escontreas, his son-in-law Joshua Gomez, and his granddaughter Zoe Gomez, along with his siblings Martha, Refugio, Julian, and Juan Escontreas. The family would like to express their gratitude to their friends and families that have shown tremendous support during this difficult time. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Gregorio H. Lara. Gregorio H. Lara, age 79, of Midland, Texas, passed away March 22, 2021. He was born February 20, 1942, in Marfa, Texas, to the late Gregorio Lara and Sabina Herrera. Gregorio married the late Victoria Lara and together raised their four sons in Midland. He is survived by his sons, Greg Lara and wife Yolanda, Mario Lara, Ruben Lara and wife Jennifer, and a sister, Maria Ganoa. Gregorio is predeceased by his wife, Victoria Lara, his son, Adam Lara, brothers Apolinar Lara, Manuel Reyes, and a sister, Michaela Nehera. Visitation will be held Wednesday, March 24th, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. at Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held Thursday, March 25th at 12 noon at Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will immediately follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Lorena Sanchez. Lorena Sanchez, 44, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, March 18, 2021. She was born in Mexico on May 5, 1976, to Sixto and Ramona Gomez. Viewing will be held on Thursday, March 25, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday, March 26, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. A prayer service and rosary will be recited Thursday evening at 7 at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel with Father Rick Lopez officiating. She is survived by her husband, Gabriel Sanchez, three sons, Andrew Gomez, Jacob Sanchez, and Gabriel Sanchez, daughter, Danielle Sanchez, brother, Ricardo Gomez, two sisters, Ava Gardea and Olga Williams, seven grandchildren, numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. Services are entrusted to Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.lualangarciapipkinfh.com. W.T. Leroy Ledford. W.T. Leroy Ledford, Papa, entered the gates of heaven on March 19, 2021 at 5:45 p.m. with his loving family surrounding him. meeting Papa at the gates of heaven are his father, Hubert Ledford, mother, Leslie Knight Ledford Burcham, brother, Arthur Ledford, sister, Vicky Dean Mansell, nephews, B.J. Burcham, and William Arthur Little Bill Burcham, granddaughter, Kira Lee Ledford, grandsons, Justin Colt Sutherland and Jordan Baker, survived by his loving wife, Mary Sue Scott Ledford of 62 years, son, Glenn Roy Ledford and wife, Michael Ann, daughter, Carol Sue Ledford, son, Martin Wayne Ledford, daughter-in-law, Clorinda Usery, son, David Bryant Ledford, daughter, Sandra Renee Ledford, and husband, Eddie Peter Ledford, son, Michael Wade Ledford and Tiffany Rutledge, daughter-in-law, Darla Renee Nichols, as well as numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A special thanks to Hospice of Midland, visiting angels sitter Maybell and sister-in-law Sis for the love and compassion for caring for him. The viewing will be held on Wednesday, March 24th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home. The funeral will follow on Thursday, March 25th, 2021 at 2 p.m. at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel at 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland. Graveside burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Midland Reporter Telegram Death Notices, Wednesday, March 24th. Craig Bales. Craig Bales, 59, of Midland, passed away March 22nd, 2021. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, March 25th at Crestview Baptist Church in Midland. Survivors include wife Marlene Bales. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Melahrini Duncan. Melahrini Duncan, 72, of Midland, passed away February 15, 2021. The family will receive guests from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, March 26, 2021, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 27th at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com.
This is the oil page. This article is entitled, Oil Plunge Deepens with Renewed Lockdowns Clouding Horizon, by Andres Guerra-Luz and Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Oil tumbled to the lowest since early February as a string of renewed lockdown measures in Europe clouded the prospects for a speedy recovery in consumption. U.S. benchmark futures plunged 6.2% on Tuesday, and the oil futures curve collapsed into a structure indicating near-term weakness. Europe's demand recovery is set to take another hit, with Germany, France, and Italy all having widened lockdown measures this month. Meanwhile, coronavirus cases are surging in India and threatening the economy's recovery from recession. See also, Europe's oil demand outlook turns gloomier on renewed lockdowns. West Texas Intermediate and Brent settled below their respective 50-day moving averages for the first time since November, which may add further selling pressure on prices. The nearest Brent futures contract traded at a discount to the next month for the first time since January, a pattern known as contango that points to oversupply. WTI's so-called prompt spread was also in contango. West Texas Intermediate for May settled at $57.76 a barrel, the lowest close since February 5th for the prompt month contract. Brent for the same month lost $3.83 to $60.79 a barrel, the lowest since February 8th. The swing lower was triggered by the deteriorating near-term demand outlook in the face of still hampered refineries, surging interest, and renewed European lockdowns, Bart Melick, head of commodity strategy at TD Securities, said in a note. With prices breaking below the 50-day moving average during the session, technical traders may well take WTI lower still. Prices were little changed following settlement after the American Petroleum Institute was said to report domestic crude supplies rose 2.93 million barrels last week. If confirmed by U.S. government data on Wednesday, that would be the fifth straight weekly gain in inventories. Meanwhile, the API report also showed gasoline supplies falling by 3.73 million barrels, while distillate stockpiles grew. Oil has been touted as a popular hedge for inflation, with restrained producer output helping drive global inventory drawdowns as countries worldwide try to emerge from the pandemic. But Tuesday's sell-off provides the latest abrupt setback to an otherwise remarkable price recovery in the wake of signs of weakness in physical markets and hiccups in economic reopening plans. Things looked great for a couple of weeks, and a bunch of funds jumped in, but they possibly decided it was premature, said Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research. Amid what looks like some bearish demand based on the pandemic in Europe, everybody decided to sell off. In other markets, the dollar climbed, making commodities priced in the currency more expensive, and an advance in U.S. Treasuries showed haven buying, adding to the risk-off mood. The weakness in the nearest part of the futures curve comes as stockpiles built up last year are being unwound from storage, according to consultant Energy Aspects. The contango structure is unlikely to last because the removal of oil from inventories is part of the market's ongoing rebalancing, the consultant said. The road to oil demand recovery appears to be full of obstacles, said Bjornar Tunghagen, head of oil markets at consultant Rystad Energy. The depth of the correction is surprising in a way, as we are just about a week ahead of the upcoming OPEC Plus ministerial meeting on April 1st, and as the U.S. fiscal stimulus is supposed to boost market confidence.
Odessa American Opinion Page, Sunday, March 21st, 2021. Texas View. On Medicaid, Texas defies logic. Fiscally and morally. The point, not expanding Medicaid is bad business. It is fiscally irresponsible to do nothing. What is more tragic, that Texas leads the nation in the uninsured, or that state lawmakers have refused to address this by expanding Medicaid? This compounding failure is as maddening as it is infuriating. There is simply no compelling reason for Texas to refuse to expand Medicaid. And yet here we are, stuck with the highest uninsured rate in the nation, because the majority of Republican lawmakers just can't go there. It is doubly tragic. The numbers speak for themselves. Before the pandemic, Texas had an uninsured rate of 18.4%. That's almost certainly risen with unemployment in the time of COVID. But if Texas expanded Medicaid to adults who earn 138% above the poverty line, roughly $17,774 for an individual or $36,570 for a family of four, then some 1.3 million people would have access to health care. But wait, there's more. If the state would expand Medicaid, it would unlock about $5.4 billion in federal dollars, or 90% of the cost. And the Perryman Group, an economics firm, recently estimated Medicaid expansion would generate $1.95 in economic benefit for every dollar Texas invests in expansion. This would translate to about $2.5 billion for Texas and another $2 billion to local governments over the next biennium. This is what the majority of Texans want. A January poll from the University of Houston's Hobby School of Public Affairs found 69% of respondents support expanding Medicaid here under the Affordable Care Act. In other words, expanding Medicaid would provide coverage to more than 1 million Texans, reduce the state's uninsured rate, return federal dollars to Texas, and generate state and local tax dollars while having the support of the majority of Texans. And lawmakers can't find a way to act? They can't boldly go where other red states such as Arizona, Arkansas, and Oklahoma have gone before? And on the other side of this argument is, well, nothing. Flimsy rhetoric about how having health insurance does not ensure quality health care or needing to find a conservative way forward on expanding Medicaid. Nonsense, as State Representative Lyle Larson, Republican San Antonio, said last month, if you take all the politics out of it, it's really a bad decision not to access the federal dollars. Larson recently filed legislation to push for Medicaid expansion, putting the issue on the ballot as a constitutional amendment. But as the saying goes, leadership can be a lonely place. It's unlikely such a bill could pass the Senate, and even if it did, Governor Greg Abbott might veto it. This is Texas, after all, which has led the fight to unravel the Affordable Care Act. Larson has argued not expanding Medicaid is bad business. If you're paying into a system in D.C., he said, and you're not pulling the money back in, but you're raising taxes at the local level to offset that money you're paying in, I think that's fiscally irresponsible. The fiscally responsible thing to do is trying to maximize, like we do every other revenue stream in the state budget. He's right. It is fiscally irresponsible to do nothing. It's also inhumane. About 5.2 million Texans lacked health insurance before the pandemic. That's 5.2 million people who are likely to put off routine care, only to end up in emergency rooms. Lawmakers could change this for more than 1 million Texans if they had the courage and sense to expand Medicaid. Why is it so hard to do the obvious right thing? Opinion column by San Antonio Express News. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Do statins cause erectile dysfunction? Dear Dr. Roach, I recently started rovastatin for high cholesterol and a family history of heart disease. I noted some erectile dysfunction. Do statins cause ED? Answer. Erectile dysfunction can be caused by many drugs, but statins are seldom implicated. In fact, studies have shown that statins are associated with the lower risk of ED. Since blockages in the arteries is a known cause of ED, I would be more concerned that you might have blockages, given your history, and would consider an evaluation. Statins would be particularly helpful in that case. Erectile function requires many systems to work well. Anxiety that a medication could be a problem could itself lead to erectile dysfunction. This may just go away in time, but if it doesn't, there are treatments available.
This is the Dear Abby column. Teen confides in stepmom, but swears her to secrecy. Dear Abby, my beautiful 17-year-old stepdaughter Amelia recently became sexually active. She's in a serious relationship with the boy she had sex with. They have been together for 6 months, and from what she's told me, they both gave each other their virginity and protection was used. She has not disclosed this to her parents. My husband and Amelia are very close, but she and her mom recently had a falling out. Amelia pledged me to secrecy, and I immediately scheduled her to see an OB-GYN to get her on birth control. My question is, should I tell my husband? I feel awful not telling him, but she has told me she doesn't want either of her parents to know. I'm grateful she comes to me for things like this, but eventually it's going to come out when my husband sees the explanation of benefits from the insurance. Amelia's mom and I have a solid relationship, and my husband and her mom also have a good one. I don't want to keep secrets regarding their daughter, but I don't want to betray my stepdaughter either. Please help. Signed, Struggling Stepmom. Dear Stepmom, it isn't necessary to betray your stepdaughter's confidence to get her the help she needs. Go online to PlannedParenthood.org, locate the nearest Planned Parenthood clinic, and share that information with Amelia. The organization provides a wide range of low-cost services to women and men, including family planning, STD diagnosis and treatment, and birth control, on a confidential basis. You should also encourage Amelia to discuss this with her parents. She is behaving responsibly in wanting to protect herself. Dear Abby, my wife and I have been married for decades, but 10 years ago she had, at the least, a texting affair with Brad, a longtime friend of her brother's. Her brother knows about the affair, lives on a large tract of land owned by their father. Brad is there often to go hunting with her brother. My wife and I used to visit frequently, but now there is some concern that Brad might be there and we'll have a conflict, so we don't go as much. The affair was very upsetting to me, but my wife insisted we keep it quiet so her brother could continue his friendship with Brad. Over the years, she has occasionally had online contact with Brad and even told him that she appreciated him talking with our son because our son has few friends. But now our son, who knows nothing about the affair or how bad it hurt me, has become friendly with Brad. It is very difficult hearing him talk about things they do together. Should we tell our son about the affair? Signed, Still Hurt in Texas. Dear Still Hurt, tempting as it may be to out your wife to your son, keep that information to yourself. I question the wisdom of Brad having been encouraged to cultivate a relationship with your son, since this friendship is the fruit of that decision. Because you prefer not to hear what your son and Brad are doing, the next time it comes up, change the subject. He may or may not catch on and question you about the reason. But if he does, all you need to say is you'd rather not discuss it. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Physical, initiating, and captivating. Sharpen your time management skills to balance personal and professional activities. This year, you enjoy simple pleasures like watching movies, participating in sports, and laughing out loud. Budget wisely and money matters stay stable. If single, someone special may enter the picture when you least expect it, so keep your eyes open. If attached, moving on from a disagreement makes your partnership stronger. Leo excites you. Aries, March 21st to April 19th, has a dynamic day. Work up a sweat to get your juices flowing. Go for a run or make a beeline for the gym on your lunch break. Meeting that special someone after hours will put a smile on your face. Tonight, get concert tickets. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th, has an average day. Plan a family reunion that may answer questions about your genealogical roots. The time and place will be tricky, so ask relatives to help with the arrangements. Your energy may be low. Don't push yourself too far. Tonight, prepare home remedies. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th, has a positive day. Friends and colleagues value your point of view. Write down observations about an important issue. Ask for advice about turning it into an essay or opinion piece. Abate your nervous energy with a power walk or run. Tonight, plan a trip. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd, has a positive day. A looming deadline may seem impossible to make. Muster your willpower and put one foot ahead of the other. Take a few deep breaths and get back on track. Avoid stress eating or other vices. Tonight, ask for a back rub. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd, a dynamic day. You may be the center of attention at a work-related function. Your charm and flair for public speaking shine through. There could be more offers that you can handle. Enjoy your day in the sun. Tonight, relax on the sofa. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Positive day. Friends may tease you about staying inside when everyone else is out and about. Don't fret if you are more introspective than usual. Start a journal. Plan a schedule that allows your imagination to run wild. Tonight, tell a story. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd, a positive day. Arrange to see friends with whom you can be yourself. Keep the discussion light and avoid controversial topics. Tone down your usual directness a notch or two. People may be overly sensitive for no apparent reason. Tonight, in the day, laughing. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st, average day. Watch for impatience in getting into silly quibbles with others. Compromise should not be too difficult today. Someone close to you might call on you to mediate a situation. Be diplomatic and you won't disappoint those you love. Tonight, children's hour. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st, a positive day. Be prepared to take an argument to its logical conclusion. Friends and family may encourage you to get a certificate or take a few courses. You will meet others who share your interest in obscure subjects. Tonight, style your hair. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th, a positive day. Take charge of your finances and pay more attention to monthly expenses. It is easy to cut corners without depriving yourself of what makes you happy. Mystery novels can become addictive. Come up for air now and again. Tonight, family meeting. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th, a positive day. This is not a day for conflict, even though someone may try to provoke you. Open a dialogue to prevent a misunderstanding from going further. If possible, face-to-face is better than phone, text, or email. Tonight, wind down with soft music. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th, average day. Downplay a difference of opinion with a colleague. Take the high road and move on. Volunteer or donate to an animal shelter. Eliminate clutter from closets and drawers. Someone might benefit from things you no longer need. Tonight, tasty dessert.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.